It's true that a lot of what Paul has to say in our epistle reading for today is speaking to pastors. Paul, after all, was writing to his young friend Timothy, who was himself a pastor. And he was urging him to do what he had to do, especially in the face of a very difficult situation. But I don't want you to think, Christians, that this passage is meant only for pastors, as if there's nothing that all Christians can't get out of this. Even if not all are called to be teachers, what Paul says here speaks to all. All Christians need to hear this and to consider what it means for their daily lives. So Paul begins by saying in verse 1, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." So Paul first reminds Timothy then of what is to come. Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus will come to finally and to fully bring in his kingdom. And the Bible reminds us again and again that that's going to happen soon. Jesus will return in the blink of an eye, in a sudden moment. The last day will come like a thief in the night. And so we must always be ready for his coming. And knowing that something is going to happen, especially knowing that something is going to happen soon, will always change how we act. We'll do things differently simply because we know we must be ready for that thing whenever it comes. And so it is also with the things of God. We are called to always be ready, to always be prepared for the coming of our Lord. But it's not just the coming of Christ that is important here. Timothy is also reminded that he stands in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. He stands in the presence of the Lord who is going to come, but he stands in his presence right now. Timothy lives before him. Timothy stands in his light. And that is always worth keeping in mind. Because people tend to act differently if they're, depending on who they're with or depending on where they are. I do things in church, for example, that I don't do anywhere else. And I do things with my family that I don't do with anyone else. That's perfectly normal. And it's especially true with people who are very important. We will say things differently. We will act differently just because we are around them. And so it is also with God. It is always worth keeping in mind that we stand before him. We are never out of his sight. We are never out of his presence. We live as those who serve the living God. But moved by this sense of urgency, moved by the realization that we are always in the presence of God, Paul goes on to say in verse 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Now, of course, on the most basic level, this is clearly meant for pastors. Clearly meant for those who are called to preach the word. Pastors are called to exhort all to follow after God. They're called to rebuke those who have sinned, to correct those who are in error. This work that they are called to do is the task that they have been given. They are the men whom God has raised up for this purpose. And so they are called to do these things. But this is also worth considering in a wider sense, to think about what it means for all of us as Christians. Just as pastors are called to do what they are called to be ready to do what they are called to do, so we as Christians also have to always be ready to carry out our calling. Just as pastors are called to do these things, knowing full well that their master is near, so we also as Christians are called to do all of these things, remembering that our Lord will come soon and that we stand in his presence. We live as the Christians we are called to be because we do it in the service of our master. Not everybody is called to preach. That is true. But everyone is called to be ready and to live as those who serve God. And Christians, this is especially important in the light of what is to come. Paul goes on to say, starting in verse 3, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Now, Paul is not just talking about the present time being somehow worse than the past, because I think that's the way that we tend to think about these things. We talk about the good old days, and we're never very happy with the way things are right now because, well, they're not like we remember. That's understandable. And I'm not denying that things aren't going to get worse, but what Paul is talking about here is when things will get to their very worst. He's talking about the very end of days, when evil will come to its fullest fruit, when it will come to its fulfillment. Many in those days will turn away from God, even those who claim to serve God. And they will not want to listen to the truth. They're not going to listen to something because it is true, but rather because it makes them feel good. They become less concerned about the truth and more concerned with themselves. And while this way of thinking does show up in every time, Christians, and I'm not denying that it hasn't happened somewhat in our time too, we're talking about when it gets to its very worst, just before Christ returns in glory. But let's not miss the point here. As important as all of this is to consider, this is not the main point of the passage. Rather, he talks about these things to show how it relates to the most important thing of this passage, which is why he goes on to say in verse 5, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." In other words, he says, yes, things are going to get worse. And for men like Timothy and for pastors, it's going to be especially difficult. It is difficult to preach the word when so few want to listen. It is difficult to preach the word and be faithful to the word when being faithful doesn't pay. It is always easier to fall away, to say what people want to hear, and to give in to the spirit of the age. That's the easy thing to do. And so what he needs to do, what pastors need to do, is to remain steadfast, to carry out their calling and to do their duty, no matter how difficult or thankless it may be. It is this steadfast devotion, this unwavering sense of duty, that is the main point of this passage, especially in the face of increasingly difficult times. And if that's true for pastors, Christians, if that sense of duty is true for pastors, it's also true for all of us. All Christians, no matter who they are called to remember who it is that they serve. All are called to keep in mind their duty and to remember what it is that God has entrusted to them. Doing our duty will bring suffering. It will not be easy, And sometimes it will be positively painful. But it must be done. Because this is our calling from God. We need to be clear-headed. We need to be dedicated. We need to be prepared to stand firm, even when it's hard to do so. Remembering that the easy way is rarely the right way. I mean, just take this for example. It's easy to say what people want to hear. It's easy to back off and to not say the fullness of what it is that God says. There's no pain involved in it. In fact, we might even think that it seems more loving. But in reality, Christians, it leads people astray. It leads them away from God and finally into their own destruction. Because it leaves them still in their sins, thinking that everything is just fine when it isn't. So yes, not saying the whole truth is the easy way. And speaking the whole truth, especially when it's unpopular to do so, is more difficult by far. But it is the way of God. But that leads us to ask then, well, why should we do this? Why should we carry out our duty? Why should we remain steadfast, especially when things get so hard? Well, this is why he goes on to say, starting in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Paul is talking about his own death here, because when he wrote this letter to Timothy, he knew that he would soon die. And tradition tells us from outside of the Bible that Paul was martyred. And so he writes these things knowing that he's soon going to be killed. And yet, even despite all of this suffering, even despite his impending death, he could still say, truthfully, that he had run the race, he had fought the fight, he had kept the faith. And he compares that suffering and his impending death to a drink offering poured out before the Lord, something offered up to God. And this drink offering was not poured out as a way of making him righteous or make God love him or anything like that. But rather, this drink offering was poured out as a kind of thanksgiving to the Lord, just like the drink offerings in the Old Testament were always given as a way of giving back to God something that he had first given them. And so Paul's suffering and impending death in that sense became a kind of thanksgiving. He was willing to endure these things for the sake of him who had given himself for Paul. So it is also for us. Our sense of duty does not come from wanting to gain something, as if we were owed something from God. Rather, our sense of duty comes out of gratitude. We hold on to him who has first given us his Son. We remain faithful to him who has made us his own. We suffer as Jesus suffered because we are being made like him in all things. And more than this, Christians, as Paul says in the last verse of our reading, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." We do these things because we know that God richly rewards his own. We suffer the things that we suffer, and we endure because we know that all of this is nothing in comparison with the glory that will be ours. It is always easier to run a race when we can see the prize in front of us. It is always easier to fight the good fight when we can see the goal. And it is always easier for us to endure these things when we remember that we serve a gracious master, one who does not forget the things that we have suffered for him, and one who is generous and kind. This crown that he has laid up for us is not a payment, Christians, as if we did something to earn it. This crown is his gift, a gift awarded to us for the sake of Jesus Christ, a gift which is given to all who look forward to his coming. Therefore, Christians, stand firm. Carry out your calling. Do what must be done for God, because you serve the Lord who will come soon. You serve the Lord who is your everlasting prize. Fight the good fight. Run the race. Keep the faith, because Jesus is coming soon. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has laid up the glorious crown of your righteousness for all who trust in you, give us your strength so that we may stand steadfast through all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.